Shavua Tov World, today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Pei Aleph, and we are holding at the Halakha Mishnah, right near the top of the daf, six lines down. Mi shenitchayev b'shtei mitot beit din, nidon b'chamura. So if somebody did two separate averot, and he is chayev in two separate mitot, so this is a continuation of the sugya that we had, where we had chiyuvim, and there it was different individuals, who were chayevs on different chiyuvim misos, and they got mixed with each other. Now we're talking about the same person, but he did various chataim, and the avera, one is b'chayevim, let's say skila, one is b'chayevim, chenek. Which does he get? He gets the more chomer one, which seems to be trivial, but we'll examine it in the Gemara. Avar avera shenitchayev shtei mitot, if he did one avera that had two separate chiyuve mitot in it, so let's say he sleeps with his mother-in-law who is also married, so then he has a chiyuv of an eshet ish, and he has a chiyuv of his mother-in-law. In that case, also nidon b'chamura. However, this is not so simple. Because when it comes to two different averas, obviously we would say there's no reason why we should choose one over the other. But if we're talking about one avera, we have the problem of the famous question of isur chal al isur. And there's a general halacha that once something is usur on you, it cannot become usur on you again. So now we're going to look into that in more detail in the Gemara, but it's the reason that Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nidon Bezika Rishona Shabbat Alav. We cannot be Mechayev him necessarily on the Chamura, because it really matters which Isser came first. If the Isser that was more Chamur, such as Chamoto, which is Besreifa, came first, so then he would be Nidon Besreifa. But if the issue, which was the Eshet Ish, so she was an Eshet Ish before he ever married her daughter, so in that case, the first Isser to be Chal would be the Eshet Ish, which is a Misa Kala, because it's only a Chiyuv of Chenek. And only afterwards did he marry the daughter of this person, and therefore that Isser, which is more Chomer, would not be Chal on him if you hold that Ein Isser Chal al Isser. In which case, he would not be Nidan B'chamura. Therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, actually, whichever one was chal first, that's the one that he's going to be killed with. That's the Gemara. Isn't that a sort of trivial halacha? I mean, I understand. If he would have only done one avera, the din would have been that he would say he would get skila. So now that he did two averas, so what did you think? That now we're going to say, well, let's not give him skila. Let's give him chenek. Does that make sense? I mean, why would I have thought so? Answers the Gemara, Omar Rav, of course that's not the case. That would indeed be completely trivial. The case over here is Kigonsha Avar Avera Kala. First he did the Avera Kala, and he got then into Besdin. Already it was paskened in Besdin that he's chayev that Misa Kala. Then he goes ahead and he does another Avera, for which he is Mechuyev a Misa Chamura. So over there I would say, look, as soon as he was paskened by Besdin as being Chayev Misa, I might have thought, we should view him, for all intents and purposes, as basically, he's already like a dead duck. Besdin already paskened on him that you're going to be Chayev, the Misa Kala, and I said, we're not even going to pasken anything else. That's it. Kamashma on the Mishnah, that no, he actually, now that he did an Avera, that is a more chamur totza'ah, so then we're going to be done him on the more chamur one. Bo'u minei achua, should say to Rabbi Yosef, Barchama mi Rabba Barnasan. So Rabbi Yosef Barchama's brother asked what the din would be. He asked Rabba Barnasan, what would the din be? I mean, what would the makar be for the din that we just learned? That Mishnah Chayev Shtei Mitot Bedin Nidon B'Chamura. Says Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Bar Nosson, to him, well, take a look at the strange pasuk in, it's more than one pasuk, but the whole piece in Yechezkel that describes the offshoots of people that are so rotten, versus those that are good. So it says over there, V'olid ben parit shefech dam, and he went ahead v'asa ach be'achad mi'elo, namely, who is kolele lo asa ki gam al harim achal v'teshet re'eo time. So he, first we had a list, we're going to go back to that list of all wonderful things that people do, but after having those kind of children, this one comes along, and he doesn't do any of those things. He actually goes ahead, and he is al el harim, which is a reference to the Eloheim al harim, et eshet re'eu timei. We'll go through each one of these. Oni ve'evyon, one, and he went ahead and gzeilot gazal, and chevel lo yashiv. He takes a mashkin for a loan, and he doesn't give it back. Ve'ala gilulim, dasa inav, toiva asa. I mean, this guy is really awful. And it says over there, and now take a look at what these things mean first, okay? It says, holid ben parit shofech dam. So what's that? That's a murderer, right? Shofech dam. Now, what would be the chiyuv for that? Sayef. And then eteshet re'eu timei. Then this kid goes along and he commits adultery. So what's the onesh for that? Chenek. And then elagilulim nasai nav. What's that? Avodas kechavim. What's that going to be, chayev? Skila. So we got sayev, chenek, skila. And what does it say at the end? At the end it says, mot yumat damav bo yihye. Now we know whenever it says damav bo, we learn that out from Ovi Yedoni. And therefore, he would be chayev skila. So there you have it. Yechesko lists a chayev of sayev, and a chayev of chenek, and a chayev of skila. And he says, bottom line is, give him skila. I mean, that's your interpretation. There's another way of reading the pasuk. I mean, maybe they all might be a reference to skila. Let me show you. We could read it. V'holid ben parit shofech dam. Maybe that's a ben sorer umore who's b'skila. And like we said, he's shofech dam because sofo that he's going to be melasim sabrias. He's going to mechapis limuda. He won't be able to be motzi. He'll end up killing people. So maybe that's what it's referring to. Which is Beskila. And then when it says Eshet Re'eu Timei, maybe that's referring to an Aram Murasa, which is Beskila. And then it says Ve'ela Gilulim Nasayin Av, like you say, that's Avodas Kechavim, which is also Beskila. So how are you going to prove to me, if the Pasuk doesn't say exactly what it is that he was Chayev, that in the event that he was Chayev three separate things, there's going to be Nidon Bechim? I don't see that that's necessarily true. I mean, come on, because if that's all that it would mean, then it isn't teaching us a darn thing. Why do I need Yecheskel to talk out three separate chiyuve misa skila and to tell me the brilliant chiddush that he's going to get skila? I understand. What do we think? That skila cubed is zero? I understand. So my kamash from Yecheskel. What makes you think that Yecheskel is going to teach you something? You know, remember, Yecheskel is a Navi. He is not there in order to teach you new dinim. He's there in order to give teichacha. He's there in order to make you aware of what you should be more aware of and pay more attention to. So maybe Yecheskel is just going over the various chiyuvim in the Torah and to let you know, just realize that these things, you know, you guys are no longer taking life seriously. These are serious issues. Well, if that's all that he's doing, so then why doesn't he do the whole thing? I mean, why select Dafka these things? He must be coming to teach me something. He should have, otherwise he would have said the whole Mishnah Torah, right? I mean, the same way Moshe Rabbeinu did. La duraki hechad hadra Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to review things. Moshe Rabbeinu writes us a beautiful Musar Sefer of reminding us of what it is we should do. It's called Sefer Dvarim. So if Yecheskel feels he wants to rewrite Sefer Dvarim and put out Yecheskel's version, so go right ahead. But why in the world would he choose just these? So it doesn't make sense what you're saying. Darish Rav Acha by Rabbi Hanina. I mean, once we're already talking about the Yecheskel's list of all of these inyanim, so I would like to point out that it also says, Maidichtiv. So what do you think the meaning is of, it seems to be very parallel to these things, and it's talking about how a person could be a big tzaddik, right? So it uses sort of the same kind of words. Like it says, El harim lo achal. So, I mean, we said Elohim Achal was talking about that he was worshiping Avodah Zarah. So let's take a look at this parsha in Yecheskel, where it says, El Harim לא אכל, ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו. What does that mean? Well, that means he did not need to go to the Harim. Who are the Harim? The Harim. And who are the Harim? The Abbas. So he did not go to the Schus Abbas. He was a big tzaddik. And the tzaddik needed to say, listen, I'm a bum, but you know, I have very big grandparents, a very nice Yichus, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, give me food. So, no, he didn't need to do that. The Einav lo nasa el gilulei Beit Yisrael. So he didn't go along with the kind of disgusting things that are similar to the kind of idols that Beit Yisrael worships. Beit Yisrael not so stupid to worship these dumb idols like people bleeding on crosses and stuff. That's crazy. But they have a much better idol. They worship themselves. So what do? They stick their neck up in the air. It's me. And that is the ultimate idol, which in the end is really what every idol is. But this guy says, why go around the back door? What the heck? Who is more important than me in the world? So this person was such a tzaddik, he didn't look at that kind of garbage. And he said, I would never think of doing that. So he never walked, bekomas kufa, never walked with his neck up in the air. That eshet re'eyu lo time. I mean, what are we talking about? A guy who didn't commit adultery. I mean, this is like a good thing. No, eshet re'eyu, remember, an eshet re'eyu doesn't necessarily mean wife. An eshet re'eyu means, could be Torah, eshes chayo, and it could mean a career. So that's, ishtar shel adam is like, that's the career of a person. So this guy, he never would open up a store or a business that some other person was doing and take away from his parnasa. That's what it means. Shelo yarad l'umanut chaveru. And when it says, Elishani da lo yikrav, what do you think that means? Literally, that's the big shevach. They didn't sleep with a nida. It means he didn't do anything that was, like, just not pleasant. So he was not nenemi kupa shel tzedakah. He never would go and accept charity. And then it says, that person, tzadiku choyo yichyeh. Now, when Rabbi Gamliel got to this pasuk, he burst out crying. He started... You mean this? Only a person like this, he did all of these things? You're saying, Man David Lekulo, all those things that you say, then Tzadiku Chayo Yechen, if not, he's doomed? He's not going to live? B'chodem inayulo? That's terrible. So Rabbi Akiva said to him, well, I mean, if that's how you read the Pasuk in Yecheskel, so that when it says over there, Kol, right, because it says over there at the end, that he did the kol chukosai shamar v'yaseotam choyo yichyeh. So what do you think kol means? This was very much the same sugya that we had earlier. How do we read the word kol? But the kol nefesh adam, does it mean any of the nefesh adam? Or does it mean the entire nefesh adam? Which therefore, if you were the last person to be makarves bisase. So that was the sugya that we had earlier here too. Said Rabbi Akiva to him, why do you read kol chukotai as meaning he has to keep all? Maybe, according to you, you'd have to read in the Parsha of Arayas, where it says over there, al titamu b'kol eila. So you're going to say, so it means that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to you that if you keep all of these mitzvahs of the Arayas, then you'll be living? I mean, Achinami, so what is that telling me? That the only time that you're chayiv for these chayivei krisis and misas is if you do all of them, so then you become tamei? But if you sleep with one of these, you're not going to become tamei. Is that the way you would explain it there? B'chadami nayin lo, that's ridiculous. Obviously, the point over there is, the achat mikolela, somebody who takes any of the aforementioned arayos, is going to be metame himself. So al tatamu, any of these. That's what b'chol ela means, right? So maybe that's what it means over here. Ochinami, kol chukotai, that I listed all these wonderful things, doesn't mean you have to keep all of them, choyo yichyeh. It means even achat mehem, choyo yichyeh. Okay, now the next piece of the mission is much more complex. The next piece of the Mishnah is that he did one thing that was mechayev him two misas. And over there, we find that Rabbi Yossi says, well, there it's not so simple. because there we have to go according to whatever became the first thing that was usher. Okay, so let's take a look at that. Tanya. Ketzad Omar Rabbi Yossi Nidom Zikr Rishonah Ba'alav. So when Rabbi Yossi said, let's only be Machai of him for the first Isser that was Chal on him, because otherwise it would be a case of Ein Isser Chal al Isser. So let's take a case like this. He marries a woman's daughter. This woman did not have a husband. Her husband had died. She was a widow. He marries her daughter. Now this woman becomes Asura to him because she is Chamoto. Now this woman goes ahead and marries herself. So now she becomes an Eishes Ish. So in that case, the first thing that he was Chayev was Chamoto, which was Sreifa. And then afterwards, he became Usher on her because of Eishes Ish? So no, because she was already Usher for the more Chomer thing, and therefore he would be Chayev in that case, Sreifa, and not Chenek. On the other hand, if a woman was married, and then he married her daughter, so she had already been Usher to him because she was a married woman, and that would have given him an Isser of Chenek. Now, she goes ahead and becomes, because he marries her daughter, so now she becomes a Chamoto. Do you think that he will get the more Chomer Misa in that case, says Rabbi Yossi? No, because he actually does not become Usher for Chamoto. Why? Because the concept of Ein Isser Chal al Isser is understanding the nature of Isser as not a unique field, but it is a field that can be triggered by any of the Isserim in the Torah. Now, you can't add one field to another. It doesn't become stronger. Either something is in this set of Isurim, or it's not. That's all. So if it was already Usser, so what would be the meaning of telling me it's going to be Usser again? What does that mean? So it has nowhere to be Chal. And since it has nowhere to be Chal, there's no way that it can be Mechayev you, the greater Misa. So in that case, even though she is your mother-in-law, but technically speaking, in terms of the Isuri Atira, she never became Asura to you for your mother-in-law, because she was already Asura to you because she was an Eishes Ish. And therefore, you are not going to be Chayev the more Chomer, says Rabbi Yossi, and I argue with the Tanakhama, I say, you will only be Chayev the more Kal. And therefore, the Isser here would be an Isser Chenek. So therefore, he would be Nidon de Eishes Ish. Omle Ravada Barava L'Rava. Hold on a second here. If she was his mother-in-law and then becomes an Eishes Ish, you're missing something here. The Isser in that case does have where to be Chal, albeit not on him. But isn't it true that when she became an Eishes Ish, she became Asura because of that Isser of Eishes Ish on a lot more people than just him? Every person in the world except her new husband is going to be Asur on her as an Eishes Ish. Okay, so did that Eishes Ish have where to be Chal? You're darn right it did. It defined the whole world. So in that case, that is called an Isur Mosif, where the Isser adds more people that are affected by that Isser, it's no longer called Ein Isser Chal al Isser, because once the Isser was Chal for everyone else in the world, that means that that Isser is noticeable and we already detect its field. So once it is Chal for everybody else, it's going to affect him as well. So why did you say that in that case, I mean, you should have said only the other case. Here you said in that case, even though it's an Isser Mosif, that even so, we will only be able to be done him because of Chamoto and not because of Eishet Ish. That's not true. We should also be Lido Namia Isser Eishes Ish, because Rabbi Avua said that Moda Rabbi Yossi be Isur Mosif. Rabbi Yossi is Moda that when an Isser adds new places that Isser affects, in this case, everyone else in the world, it also will affect the person who was already Usher because of something else. So why didn't you say that you only are over on the Chamoto and not on Eishet Ish? So Rava said, my dear son, Ada, how would you have us actually handle this? I mean, I'd love to know how you would do it. You want to kill him twice? Is that it? You want to kill him with the Misa Chamura, which we said you're going to be chayiv because Chamoto is the more chama, right? That's the Srefa. And you're asking me, so why can't we kill him also because of Eishes Ish? Please go right ahead. When you figure out how to do this, I'd appreciate your letting me know because it might prove very valuable. Anyway, so what was the real reason for the quote about Mosif and that he's murdered by Yisr Mosif? Well, he is murdered by Yisr Mosif, but obviously not to get him more dead than he was before. The Yisr Mosif is to be mechayev him another carbon because of the Yisr. It certainly is not going to affect the chiyuv of Misa in Tezdin. So I don't know exactly what you're thinking. And now a moment for our intrepid leader, the great Capitan, oh, Sir Richard. Nice. Mi shelaka vishana. Now, we're going to get to another case of the Koncino Tola Kippa that we spoke about earlier, in which we were unable to carry out a chiyuv of Misa because the people got mixed up and so on. There's another case like that. And that is, it seems to be saying on the surface, recidivism. So if somebody was loke for an avera, and now he's back in court and he's getting malchus again, so we sort of get tired of this guy, you know? So we just put him into that kippah, and ma'achilan oto sa'orin, we feed him that Richie soup. I'll keep claiming it was Richie soup, but, you know, really was mine. Ad shekreso mitbakat, until he simply explodes. What? Mishum de Lok of Hashana based in Koncino Tola Kippa? I don't understand. Somebody who did two averas, he's going to be killed? What kind of craziness is that? Hold on. First, I'll explain to you. We're not talking about just the Chiyuv of Malchus. We're talking about over here where the Chiyuv of Malchus came for one of the Isurei Karet, right? So he already did an Isur Karet, and now he was given Hatra'ah, and indeed he got Malchus for this Isur Karet. Now the truth is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's already basically cut this guy off, right? So in that case, the fact that this person went ahead and he was over again, so that shows that he never really did tshuva on it, so he's still chayiv karet, basically. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided that this guy is dead, so the point is, okay, so the karet will not affect him for another 50 years, you know? But all right, so all we're doing is we're bringing his death a little closer. Why are we doing that? Because, look, karet could be like a long way off. Kruvi hidolo mikrav katle. So the time of this karet is not yet. But this guy is essentially saying, I don't give a hang. So if he is mevater on his own life, given to God mevater le'nafshe, so basically it would be a good idea to get this guy out of the way. I mean, normally we give a person a chance to tshuva and this and that, but in this case, we look at the Yisr Karis as essentially a death sentence, which normally would have left him an option, but he doesn't want the option. Just one moment, second over here. I think we need to clarify something. We are talking about where he does the same thing. That's the point. So we're talking about Malkiyotro Karet Achat. He keeps doing the same Isser, despite the fact that we gave him Hatra'ah. He knows that it's a Chiyuv Karet. He was loka for the Chiyuv Karet. And he therefore is saying, I don't care. But if he did another Yisr Karet, that doesn't prove that he doesn't give a kang about his life. Basically, it just proves that he needs to taste all things in life, right? Like the good old song in Les Mis. You know, life was there to be tasted. Okay, so he figures, well, I tasted Chil Shabbos. Now I know what that feels like. Now let's try Yom Kippur. You know, I tasted sleeping with my mother-in-law. Now let me taste sleeping with my father-in-law's mother, whatever. So since these are different Isurim, so people are excused in the sense of we don't view it as they're saying, I don't want to live. I don't care. I am desperate to die. That's not the point. He's really deeply curious and he needs to know what it tastes like. So he's surim udekok toim velomavater kulehai. And therefore, he's not that much throwing his life away. And therefore, we don't have a right to hurry up his demise. Okay. Now, the next thing that we learn is about the kippah. So, Mishala Kavashana, so what we're learning now is that if the person does the same Isser of Koret, specifically, twice, that then we give him this kippah idea. Now, note that it says, Laka Vishana. Laka Vishana means once, twice. And that means that there's no Chazaka, right? Because there's no three times. There's no thrice. There's only twice. So afagav delo shileish. But then that would be a straight out Mishnah that would be running against Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Remember the big machlokas that we had between Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel about what constitutes a chazaka. This was benogea a woman who had two husbands. Both of those husbands died. So now the question is, can she marry a third husband? Because there's no chazaka that every man that she marries dies. Or do we say, well, there's already a chazaka of two times. So Rebbe says two times is enough. She's considered to be a katlanit. We don't let her marry anybody else. She obviously eats her husbands alive, and therefore we're not going to let her marry another one. Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no, what do you mean? She's just like anybody else until we have a chazaka, and a chazaka requires three times. This, of course, is nogea the whole idin of Shor HaMuad. And what it defines the nature of that chazaka, as we had back in the sugya. So now, according to him, he says that you would need three times, and here it says, if you got malchus two times, wow. I mean, this first Mishnah that's saying openly, it only will go according to Rebbe, not like Rebbe Shimon. Omer Avina, no. Afilo tem Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, this works perfectly. Fine, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel. What makes you think that the issue over here is the number of times that you got malchus? That's not the issue. Who cares how many times you got malchus? The question is, how many times did you do the Isser? So, if we're looking at how many times you did the Isser, if you were already over the Isser once, twice, and now you did it again on the third time, the Mishnah is saying, the third time for doing the Isser, we're now going to put you into the kippah. So, what's the problem? This is basically exactly what Shimon would have said, right? So it's the chokey for you. And if that's the case, then I feel if it's Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel, kasava averot machzikot, it's not the malchus that makes the chazaka. We're looking for how many times did you do this avera, which shows that you are a recidivist, according to Rebbe Shimon Gamliel's definition of recidivism, which would be the chazaka of Shalosh Pa'amim. Meisvei. If that's true, so then how does Ravina learn this brayta? Listen to this. Over avera sheish pro malchus. A guy did an avera pam rishona ushnia, the first time, and the second time we give him malchus. But the third time, we put him into the choki. So bishlishit konsino to lakipa. Whereas Abba Shalom av bishlishit malkinoto, and b'reviit konsino to lekipa, it's the chokey for you, but only on the fourth time. So what do you think that is talking about? I mean, clearly the machlokas over there is gufa the question of whether we go to the Rebbe or we go to the Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel. And it seems that everybody is made that the issue that defines the chokey is the malchios, not the averos. So the only question is it two malchios, or is it three malchios? So that would mean that the Tanakhama and Abba Shaul could be arguing with Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Like, that's the simplest way to see it. And since this is basically similar to our Mishnah, so it's also mashma that the Tana of the Mishnah is basically going like Rebbe. Otherwise, he'd have to be going like Abba Shaul here, and that seems to be not the way that we understood the Braita. Why? I don't understand why you say this. Not necessarily. You could learn this braita perfectly well, according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. So it may well be, the kuleyama itu to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. And the gufa, this is the machlokas, that the Tanakhama holds that what is going to be koveya is recidivism is the averas. Moshe Enkein Abba Shor would hold that it's the malchios that he's been through. That's what's koveya the recidivism. And because of that, when he does it the fourth time, we are able to act on the fact that he'd already done it three times before, which was koveya, that the next time he would be now chayev lechoki. I don't believe it. Because if you take a look at the following brisa, okay, you see that nobody seems to be focused on the actuality of the malchus. Because look at this brisa. He threw a blow of a shatak. They give a guy hatra'a, and he doesn't respond. Or he threw bo virkin rosho. We give him hatra'a, and he nods his head. Yeah. No all of the shtick. But he doesn't say that, you know, I'm an atkenani yoseh, and I know that, you know, I want to get killed. He doesn't do any of that. So we can't give him malchus either, right? If we're talking about an iser, and he wasn't makabel hasra, we can't give him any punishment. Okay. So then that would mean that he is not going to get malchus. And nonetheless, what does it say? That the palm rishon avishniya matrin bo. The first two times we just give him the hatra'a. But the third time we put him into the kippah. Abba Shaul says, even the third time we could just give him hatra'a. But berevi'it continuo to the kippah. The fourth time we'll put him into the keeper. Now, what are you going to say now? What are they arguing in now, huh? There is no malchus, so they can't be arguing about whether it's the malchus or the yisr. There's no malchus. The guy was never mekayem kabbal hasra. So obviously, everybody is going to have to admit that the issue over here is not the malchus, but rather the question of what defines this recidivism. So what are they arguing now? I mean, it's clearly a question of the Avera and not the Malchus, unless, of course, you want to go back and you were going to say, that we're arguing specifically about Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Omer Ravina, no, there's a very simple way that they could hold of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, and nonetheless, Abba Shaul would say that you would need this fourth one, and they could still both agree on what defines a chazaka. And that question is the choki a punishment, or is it a way of getting this guy out of the way? But if it's a punishment, so then it needs hatra'a, just like the other punishments in the Torah, right? So if you're going to give him hatra'a for malchus, so then you would have to give him hatra'a and warn him, look, if you do this again, the next time we're going to be putting you into the choki. So that would be the svara of Abba Shaul. You have to tell him what's going to happen to him in order to be able to be mechayev him, the kippah. Whereas the Tanakhama says, no, the kippah is a response, and there's no need to actually tell him. So that means both of them agree with Reb Shimon Gamliel. Both agree that obviously it can't be the malchios, because there weren't any malchios. It's the averas that are maxikas and not the malchus. And we have a completely different issue over here about whether the kippah itself requires a hatra'a in order for us to inflict it on somebody. By the way, what is this kippah exactly? Omer Rav Yehuda, this kippah is a choki. That means it's a little cabinet. It's exactly this guy's height. There's not even, he can't even stand up higher than, he's standing up, his head is already touching the top. He can't move. And hecher amiza, so where is it? Merumas in the Torah. I mean, obviously, it's not that we're going to use a remes to do such a thing. As Rashi explains, it's clearly halacha l'maaseh miSinai. We can't make up something like this. But is there remes to it? Says the Gemara. Yes, says Rish Lakish, there is indeed. That's what the meaning is in Tehillim of Timotet Rasha Ra'ah. So what does that mean? That the things that a person does will destroy him in the end. So where's that? It means timotate. You should be mimotate, a rasha who keeps insisting on his ra'ah. That's the point. V'yomer Rish Lakish, my dechtiv, there's another issue like this, which is that sometimes a little thing you'd think would not impact you. But it's the very recidivism. So when it says, Ki gam lo yeda ha'adam et ito, ki dagim shene'erazim b'mitzoda ra'ah, the b'nei ha'adam are shocked with the terrible things kishupole and pitzon. When something happens and I'm suddenly, oh my God, I never expected this to be happening to me. So what is that? I mean, basically, we all walk around expecting the hatchet to fall at any minute. So what do you say, kishinofal alehem pit'om? What does pit'om mean? So what's the mitzvah ra'ah? Omer Shlokish, that's a fish hook. You got this big fish, okay? He is prepared for Richie's nets, you know, because Richie's nets never work. So he knows how to get away from that. So that's what he's looking for. It never occurs to him that that nice little squiggly worm that is just ready for being dessert has this little hook in it, and that hook is going to be his end, and he's a big, powerful fishy. And he figures nothing's going to get me, and there's that little chaka, and that gets him. That's what kills people, too. They know how to avoid the big things. It's the little things that kill them. And now we're ready for Sir Richard's overtime. Ha-horeg nefesh shelo be'edim. There are other cases where we use the chokey. So let's say there were no witnesses. Now we're going to see it can't mean literally that, but somebody murders. There's no witnesses. Well, we will put him into the chokey too. U'machilinoto lechem tsar, u'mayim lachatz, and we're going to give him very little amount of water and just a little bit of food. Now, wait a minute. I thought we said before we feed him Richie's cholent. All right, so this the Gemara is going to ask, which one is it? But meanwhile, it does say that there's another individual who is put into this chokey. So, minayadina, I understand. If there's no witnesses, then how do we know? And if we know, why can't we kill him? Oh, my Rav, come on. There's a lot of possibilities. First of all, what if we're talking about edut miyuchedet? Edut miyuchedet means that you've got two witnesses, but the problem is that you only have one witness seeing him from one place and one witness seeing him from another place, and that is normally not usable to kill the guy, but it certainly is enough to establish that he killed, right? So in such a case, we would still be able to use the chokey, even though we don't have a right to give an actual mises bezdin. Shmuel says, you don't even need that. You could have completely normal edim, and we could be talking about where the guy was not mekabel the hasra, like we said before. And since if there's no hasra or no legal hasra, you're not able to kill the guy, it's not going to make any difference whatsoever in terms of, do we know what happened? Yes, we know exactly what happened. We just can't act on it. So the chokey allows us to act where we can't act in a completely legal fashion. We've got another simple explanation, like we saw earlier in the Masechet. So you remember the bedikot were things that were completely irrelevant to the case. So, you know, like we ask him, well, what kind of buttons were on the shirt that the murderer was wearing? Were they plastic or were they really original bone buttons? So I don't know if one of them says, well, they were bone and the other one says plastic. So then you can't use these edim, even though you know what happened because it certainly is not relevant to the case. So they weren't miskachesh in the chakirot, which were necessary to make the Eid Shatei Ochel Azima. We had that case, right? I mean, we spoke about this Mishnah a long time ago in the Masechet, where we said, Maaseh Badak Ben Zakai Bok Seite Einim. So this Ben Zakkai said, well, you say the murder took place under a fig tree. How thick were the stems of the figs on that tree? Okay, so if they're makish each other, so that's a way that he was able to be mekayim the halacha of Yitzilu Ha'ida. Okay, that still doesn't in any way take away the fact that we know that the guy killed. So in that case, Bezdin is matzil, but nonetheless, we get rid of the guy As we said, we have this completely different din of Tumot Teitrash Ra'ah as opposed to the normal judicial procedure. Now, wait a minute. You say we feed him lechem tzar umayim lachatz, but the Mishnah that we had right before this one, it says, here it says, notin lo lechem tzar umayim lachatz, and there it says, maishna ha'asam diktani, the Mishnah right before says, ma'achilon doto sa'orin, ad shekrei so mitbakat. I thought we give him Richie's cholent. Omrev Sheshes, no. Each one of these is part of the other one. It means, in both cases, you start off by getting his stomach tight, so it shrinks a bit. You give him a diet of just enough water and bread for survival. All right, so now the guy is basically, he's got a shrunken stomach, then you give him a Richie Cholent. That ends the whole problem with a real bang. And this brings us to yet another, we hope that Richie this time will at least consider the circumstances and let us off from double overtime. But go ahead, Rich. Good grief. I think we've done him in. Whoa. Okay. Now we've got another concept of extrajudicial murder. So one was the chokey, and now we're talking about other ways in which we can get rid of people. So let's say somebody steals the kaswa. We're going to see in the Gemara that that's a reference to a klisharis. Or somebody was mekalel by a kosein. So he doesn't use the shame of Hashem to be mekalel. Seems to be saying he uses a kosein. Kosein, of course, I mean, that would mean a wizard. It also has the very strong connection to the word kosmos, kosein. So maybe he's got some other concept of powers of the cosmos, right, which may be the central meaning of kosim in general. Maybe that's the point. But basically, it's like a word for the universe as a whole, right, for whatever keeps the universe in shape. So he's Makalo without the Shem Hashem, but he uses the name of some kind of the force shall take him, or something like that. Or someone who is Boel Aramit. So he sleeps with a non-Jewish woman. In all of these cases, he can be killed extrajudicially by kana'im. And we'll discuss what actually would define the nature of kana'im lahalacha. And there's other cases. Let's say a kohen goes into the Beis HaMikdash, and he doesn't bother making himself tahor, and he just does the aveda betuma. So what did we do then? The other kohanim who find out about this, they don't bring him in to Beis Din to give him malchus. They simply take him outside to the backyard. And over there, they bust open his brains. So pirchei kuna motziin oto chutz la azara, umavtziin et mocho begzirin. They bust out his brains with some nice heavy baseball bats. And that all of these things, we'll see these are all halacha l'moshe Sinai. Another case is Zar. When he's not a Kohen, he goes in and he does the Aveda. So Rabbi Akiva says he's Chayav B'chenek, and the Chachomim say he is only Chayav Misa B'dei Shamayim. We'll see how these issues are interrelated, because it turns out that you don't kill any of these people unless there seems to be at least a Chayav of Misa B'dei Shamayim. So let's go through the cases in the Mishnah. The first one was Hagonev et HaKasva. What exactly is a Kasva or a Kasua? Says Rabbi Yehuda, well, it's basically a klisharis of some kind. How do we know that? Because we see that it says in the Pasuk, the eight Ksot HaNasach. So what are the Ksot HaNasach? So that's really talking about something that holds the lechem aponim above to allow air to circulate. But the idea is that we use that has a term for a klishores, and that is like, I mean, that is very small, easy for a guy to put into his pocket, and you know, you have the gold kalim that are on the shulchan, so the guy slips one of them, it's tiny little half straw, he puts this into his pocket. So we said, I'm going to vetakasua, but anything that he would steal would be included in this. Obviously, not specifically that. We just talk about what's easy. And where is there a remez in the Torah that you are supposed to kill someone if you're a kanoi for stealing like that? Because, look, it says about the Bnei Kahat, right, that Aaron Ubonav should come in and cover all of the kelim. V'lo yavo lirot kevalah takodesh vametu. So the word kevalah, I mean, there in the pasuk it means as the kelim are being covered over, and then they're going to be handed over to the Bnei Kahat, so they shouldn't come and see that. But it's another meaning to the word kevalah. And kevalah can mean that you steal it, you swallow it, you keep it for yourself, you take it. So kevalah ta'kodesh vametu would be a remez that somebody who would actually be bolea the kodesh, put it into his pocket, is vametu. V'amekalel bakosem, like what would that mean? Toni Rav Yosef, instead of yaka yosi es yosi, we had before was the correct requirement for an actual chiyav misa for a megadev, this idiot says, Yake kosem et kosmo. The force should destroy the source of the force. All right, whatever this Meshuggah is trying to say, he's basically using not the Shem Hashem to be Yake, but something similar. The cosmos shall destroy the cosmos. You know, okay, so it's the same idea, and it's similar to it looks the same, you know, from the outside, it's similar to Birchas Hashem. So, Mimela, it makes sense that we should kill the guy. Rabbonan Vitema Rabba Bar Mori say that the meaning of it is the force should kill Yake Kosim, Lo, Ukono, Ulamakno. He wants the force to kill whatever person he's mentioning. You know, he's got the force on his side. So he says, let the force destroy this guy and this guy's creator and this guy's source of province. So, okay, that's basically, he is, in the end, even though he seems to be focusing on his enemy, but Lamaisa, he ends up using this cosmos to go ahead and to be Pogea in the Kiddush Hashem, and it looks like Birchas Hashem.